Next, we've the account of the broadcaster Richard Bacon, who survived a mystery illness which nearly killed him. At 42, he was fit and well before feeling cold and dizzy on a plane. Next, he became short of breath, and doctors at Lewisham Hospital in London diagnosed a serious lung infection. With his wife, Rebecca, at his side, he expected to tackle things with antibiotics, but instead was placed in an induced coma and nearly died. Just out of hospital, he began by joking with our reporter Luke Jones, but then explained how he was saved by people who told it straight.
Broadly, before all of this, how healthy a person would you say you were?
I'd say that this has been the most healthy year of my life. This year in particular, I've really embraced working out and the LA lifestyle. So I often go to the gym twice a day. I eat very clean food. And it, for me, it's often when I try my hardest at something that everything goes wrong. But I was at the peak level of fitness I've ever been at by a country mile when I fell ill and nearly died.
So tell me about that then. You were on a plane coming over here. What was the first point at which you thought, hang on, something isn't right?
It was the day that England won that game on penalties. And that was the last World Cup game I saw, because I was in a penalty in a coma for the rest of the tournament.
They might still be in it for all you know.
Is football coming home? No one's let me know. So I was on the flight home and I started to feel very, very cold and slightly hallucinogenic. And I remember thinking it was so cold on the plane that it felt like I was sitting in a field in winter. And I was rocking back and forth. And I was in such a state when we landed after 10 hours that they had to get me off the plane in a wheelchair. And this is where being in good shape worked against me, is I think because I knew I'd worked hard this year, that I just thought, that'd be all right. So I didn't go straight to A&E, which was a mistake.
Were you scared? Were you worried? Or did you just brush it off?
I was quite scared. I was short of breath. And what I should have done, and what I would urge anyone to do, who's ever short of breath for reasons that they can't ascertain, is you go straight to A&E. And it was the next morning that I went to A&E, because even then I didn't treat it very urgently. I just did a walk-in. I walked in and it was the 70th anniversary of the NHS, and I'm already a big fan of the NHS. And there were balloons around the place, and I tweeted or put on Instagram a bit of a joke about I never like to miss a party, so here I am at Lewisham Hospital on the 70th of the NHS. It was still a kind of a fun day until it stopped. I thought that I would be given some kind of drugs that are not available in a regular pharmacy that would push back this, whatever this illness was. I knew it was a lung infection of some description. We still don't know exactly what it was, but my assumption was that they'd fill me up with some kind of drugs. It would push it back. It might take as long as 24 hours, but it would go away. And this is the most shocking moment of my life, is I was with Rebecca, and we're now on the resuscitation unit, and I remember saying to her, do you think I'll make that lunch with my friends tomorrow? And Rebecca saying, probably not. And a few seconds after asking that question, the lead consultant for the hospital who I'd been dealing with, who's the most professional man of any profession I've ever encountered, just turned up and he said, so do you know what's going on? And I said, yeah, I think so. I said, I may have to stay in overnight, and you're going to fill me up with drugs and we're going to push back this infection. And he said, no, it's much worse than that. He said, I've looked at your x-ray and it's horrible, and I need to put you into an induced coma so that we can control your breathing, and if I don't do that, you're probably going to die. And I said, into an induced coma for a few hours? And he said, no, it'll be at least a week. And everything turned out to be true. I mean, I was in a coma for about 9 days and I was in hospital for 2 weeks.
But in that moment when he's saying it looks horrible, you might die,
yeah.
Coma... Yeah, scary words. What were you thinking then?
He has this no-nonsense manner that I kind of envied. You know, in the jobs that I do and that you do, we're not always to the point. You know, you feel the need to entertain or make jokes or go around the houses. His job is just to give you the facts. And it was, to start with, it was profoundly shocking. And then I was immediately at peace with it because he'd taken the decision away.
I don't understand you saying you were at peace with it. How could you be at peace with someone saying that and this is all going to happen within a few minutes?
Because it's so dramatic. It was a shocking thing, but within minutes, it's a new reality. And I accepted it was happening. And I trusted this man so much, and it turns out I was right to do that, that I just thought, I'll have to place my life in his hands. Just behind one of those hospital dividers you get between beds on a ward, all these faces appeared I didn't recognise, and a hospital bed appeared, and all this equipment, and I realised it was all
people
for me.
People limbering up.
People in scrubs, and you realise it was just happening right now. Go. You're gone.
Did you start to consider your own mortality then, when he's talking about this being a life and death situation? Did you start thinking, you know, what ifs?
Yeah, I did. Because you would. The first two nights went really badly. No one's fault. The infection was winning and my lungs were losing. And my blood oxygen level went down to 70%. And when you go below 70%, you basically, you're looking at death or brain damage, and but more likely death. And I hit 70. And for the first two nights, I've since found out I came quite close to death. After the event, when I was out of the coma, there was this fantastically clever doctor from Boston who works at Lewisham Hospital, Boston in America. And I said to her, you know, how bad was I? And she said, well, to be in ICU, in the intensive care unit, you have to be in the top 2% of patients in the hospital. And she said, within those 2%, you were about 8 out of 10 in trouble. And there are a few points where I thought you were probably going to die. When you asked me about contemplating death, I didn't do it going in, and I'm not sort of done it coming out. I've had a couple of moments of feeling slightly haunted by it, but I've always, when things have gone wrong in my life, as I have done a few times, I'm quite good at rationalising, parking, and making sure I don't get too bitter. But not knowing is the worst of all worlds, because it means that they just have to run so many tests on you. Both in the coma and when I came out of the coma, I must have been injected 250 times in the last 2 weeks, to the point where my arms are frail and tired. And because they don't know what it was, the best they could get was, it's a bit like having bird flu in both your lungs at the same time. But it wasn't that either. We'll never know.
You still don't know?
No, we'll never know. They've given up. We'll never find out. Yeah. Because I'm fixed. It's gone. It's completely gone. There's no trace of it. I'm tired because I've been in a coma, but there is no trace of the infection. I'm not infectious. I'm free to go home. It's over.
Richard Bacon speaking to our own Luke Jones.